there very clearly stated, and he suggests that it is like the enrolment in the Book of Life. All who are appointed for eternal life believed. And so there was a very mixed reception to the message that our missionary brothers proclaimed in these early days. Some received, some rejected. But some became so angry, so very angry with these people and so jealous that they took up stones to throw at them. And we have the account in Acts 14, verse 19, how some of the Jews from Antioch and Iconium won the crowd over. And they stoned Paul and dragged him outside the city, thinking he was dead. And so missionary work is not without great personal cost on many occasions. They supposed he was dead. And it would seem that it was a miracle that he was raised, for the next day he and Barnabas left for Derbe. God worked a miracle in order that this man might fulfil his ministry and his commission to go to the Gentile world and to declare unto them the gospel. At the end of chapter 14, we have an account of perhaps the first missionary conference. Now, Antioch must have been a wonderful church, because they sent these men out. It was at Antioch, we recall, that the disciples of the Lord Jesus were first called Christians, and here they organise a missionary conference. On arriving there, they gathered the church together and reported all that God had done through them. Not all that Paul and Barnabas and John had done, but all that God had done through them, and how he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles, and they stayed there a long time with the disciples. And so there was a reporting back to those who had recognised their faith, had recognised their gift, and had given to them the right hand of fellowship as they had gone out. And what an encouragement it must have been to those people who had been faithful and had been praying at Antioch for these brothers to come back and tell them not what they'd done, but what God was doing in the Gentile world. Now, finally, let's think about some of the applications of these missionary principles. First of all, I'd like to say that we don't have to go overseas to be a missionary. Certainly that's the concept that is being conveyed here. But we can be a missionary at home, right where we are, with our neighbours, with those with whom we work, with friends at school, at college, wherever we are. And I've been privileged to teach over a number of years and work in colleges, and it's been a great joy to me to learn and to see how young people can witness to one another. And I would stress to young people here today that there's a great opportunity. When people get on in life, they often become fixed in their ways and they've developed and accepted their own philosophy. But young people are still searching. 18 months ago, I was lecturing at the conservatorium, and I said to the young people in part of my psychology lecture, I'd like you to write down the name of the person you most admire, and then list two or three characteristics. One of the students there listed, when we came to share our experiences, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then she went on to tell the group of 20 other young people why she admired him. Now, as a boy at school or a college student, I don't think I would ever have done that. And I admired that young woman to make a stand and to share with others her love for the Saviour and her admiration for him. And then I think of school children too, who've been such good witnesses of the young girl who lent to one of her teachers that I've been talking to about the Christian faith. She was a senior girl, and she lent the teacher a book, and it had a hymn in it. And the word that stood out for the teacher was, "His blood can make the foulest clean." And he came to the and said, "Look at this. This is what your ISCFers are doing. This is how they regard me." But I have great joy in telling you that that man came to Christ some years ago, a couple of years after that that incident. And in part, it was the witness of those young people at that high school. So we can be a missionary just where we are, just in the circumstances. We don't need to cross the water. And then I think too we need to learn as a church that we have a responsibility in sharing with missionaries. Brother Fred King, who I enjoyed so much here, emphasised that often we wait for young people to hear the call and then to come to the elders of the church. And they're very much alone. He pointed out from verses like the ones we've been reading here that the church too has a responsibility to recognise gift and to encourage and to send forth laying hands upon them. And I'll just close by saying that those we have sent out and those we have commended, we have a continuing responsibility towards them. It's not simply to send them away to do a job, to fulfil a mission, but our part is to pray and support and make possible their work. And so may the Lord help us as we continue on in our study of the Book of Acts to have that same love that the church at Antioch had for their missionary brothers and sisters, to give the support that is needed, that the love of Christ may be made known unto the uttermost part of the earth.